And welcome to Fan Friday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Doug. Take it away.
Oh, no.
These are the Dougs I know.
Gotta find all those questions I have.
Some time, and stalling as much as we can.
Yeah, this is terrible. I was not prepared.
Every week, you were not prepared.
I know. I've gotten really bad about moving these over to one place. Okay. Because it's now after Thanksgiving. We are now officially into Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
What is something, this comes from June. What is something you wanted as a kid for Christmas, but you never got?
That is a
the acceptance of my dad.
Oh, dude.
No, I'm kidding.
Fucking too real, bud. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. I would say the most expensive thing I could think of that I wanted as a kid that I never got was Power Wheels. I always wanted a Power Wheels. I thought they were the coolest thing, but the closest thing I ever got was one of those like trikes or whatever, you know, like the big wheel where it had the one big wheel and the two little wheels on the side. But yeah, I've always wanted a Power Wheels because I thought that was the coolest. And when you watch those commercials as a kid, they made it like kids would jump over fucking ditches with them doing fucking flips and they're like pow pow Power Wheels and kids are losing their shit. I mean, it was never like that in real life. They were pretty shitty, but I wanted one.
Let's see. I think if I could remember one thing, I guess the PlayStation 1. My mom was done after the Sega Genesis, but I tricked myself into believing that she got it for me for Christmas, and she didn't. And that was when I realized that I was on my own for video games. I was like, all right.
Well, see, so, well, you know, growing up, a lot of people always ask, like, oh, your birthday is the day before Christmas. You know, do you have trouble? Do your parents combine gifts? Like, do you not get like birthday and Christmas gifts? And what I learned how to do early was scam the system and trick my parents into thinking that by buying me one big gift that like, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah. Just get me, you know, yeah, the PlayStation or whatever for my birthday. And we'll count that as a Christmas gift too. Mm-hmm. But of course that means like, oh, you got me the PlayStation. Well, I need games. So then I get games too. Right. But like, it would work like that, but then I have like family members who'd also get me stuff, so it was never like, oh man, I only got a PlayStation, you know what I mean? Like, I learned how to scam the system pretty early, so I never really had a huge issue of not getting what I wanted. But I will say there was one year, the original Xbox, because I got the PlayStation 2 I think the year before. It's great, loved it. Maybe 2 years before, I don't remember. And Xbox came out I didn't have one. I had the PlayStation, and I wanted KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. It's 2002, 2003, whatever year that game came out. So I asked for it. It's like, hey, I want an Xbox because I want this game. Mm-hmm. It's a Star Wars game, and it's only on Xbox. And so for my birthday, I got the game. So it was like, fucking done deal. Nope.
Nothing.
Did not get it.
Yeah.
And it was, my dad had an Xbox. My dad got an Xbox for himself the year before or whatever. Like, because I got the PlayStation 2 and he got the Xbox. And so I was like, okay, so can I borrow your Xbox? And he was like, fuck no. Like, no. No. You could like see if you can borrow Ed's. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck? And so I think I like got like my PlayStation 1 and like all the games I had for it and all my Christmas and birthday money and things that I got that year. Well, not all the things, but like those money gift cards and all that stuff. And I went and traded in my old PlayStation and the games and all the stuff and use like money and gift cards or whatever to buy an Xbox, like traded them in. Cause I was like, you gonna give me a fucking game and not give me the fucking platform to play it on? Like, come on, man. Like, what the fuck?
That's a douche.
It was a douchey move. It really was. Don't do that to your kids. It sucks. Like, that sucks. So that was a year I did not get something that I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I did get it later. I just had to get it myself. So
I'm posting some questions here in our chat.
Thank you. Yeah, I know we had some Christmas questions left over from last year, so I've been using those recently.
Oh, damn it. I put them in the wrong chat. Hold on.
I'm okay. Where?
Hold on. Here
we go. People are like, what are you doing? Okay. I feel like we've done that one.
The Ted Lasso one?
No. The next one, the one about getting dressed in the morning. Maybe not.
Yeah, we
have. Here we go. We'll ask them anyways. This one comes from Mo. If you were on death row, what is your last meal?
Endless breadsticks. Live forever. Just live. Not done with my breadsticks yet. Gotta keep going. No. Fucking.
I don't know why this popped into my head, but maybe because it reminds me so much of my mom and my childhood, and like that would, I think, maybe want to be the last thing that I kind of remember before that was turkey gravy over mashed potatoes. Like, they did that, like my mom made that sometimes, and yeah, that was always a favorite of mine that she did for me. So they also served it at school. Like, it was also a school meal back in the day. I don't know if they still do it now, but you guys, it's so cliche to be like a
burrito from Chipotle.
Yeah, I knew it.
Wow. Not even a great one. Just a burrito from
Chipotle. Chicken burrito, brown rice, black beans, hot sauce, sour cream cheese, corn.
You don't even care about the heartburn at that point.
No, what does it fucking matter? I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
And large chips with three sides of hot sauce. Cause fuck it. Again, like, who cares? Like, I don't give a shit about my cholesterol or whatever at that point. So yeah, no, like, three bags of chips. Fuck it. And then one of their margaritas. Everyone always like steak and potatoes. Like, yeah, that's good. That's great. Yeah, but whatever. Like, fuck it. I want to eat something that I actually like. I mean, I love steak and potatoes. Don't get me wrong. But like, no, if I can only eat one last thing, one last time, it's gotta be my Chipotle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta go with a steak. Just a really good steak. I think that would be the way to go out. Steak and like mashed potatoes, like garlic mashed potatoes. Just all the gravy. That would be amazing.
You know, what's nuts is I don't think they really do last meals anymore. Not like they used to. They used to do like, what do you want? People be like, oh yeah, it's steak and potatoes. And now it's like, okay, well, here's your options that's coming from the fucking cafeteria or whatever, like the kitchen here in the jail. Like, we're not going fancy.
Well, DoorDash maybe.
Yeah. So I don't know who this is. GOW1 intro cutscenes Kratos. That's a long fucking username. Who is that?
That's got a more intro cutscene Kratos, man. Polygons for days.
What would be the worst/best way for Ted Lasso to end? Worst way would be for them not to win the Premier League.
Yep.
Worst way would be for them to get knocked back down out of the Premier League, I would say.
Yeah, back into relegation.
Yeah. To go back again, because that'll be real demotivational.
Best way is for them to spend two to three episodes.
Hold on. I didn't say what my worst way. Worst way for the whole series to end is that Ted Lasso doesn't find his happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, even worse would be like, the show ends with Ted Lasso being fired mid-season. He has to go back home to America.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. with the way that, like, Premier League coaches come and go.
Yeah.
They get fired every fucking week. It wouldn't be all that surprising. But that would be the worst way. I say that, but there are some coaches who've been with teams for years. Best way would be for them to spend like 2 to 3 episodes on Nate's story with him being a little shitheel and being over at West Ham, and then him realizing that like he got an ego and that like they don't respect him either, or they don't respect him at all, not either, because I think the people at Richmond did respect him, but he just didn't see it because his head was so far up his own ass. Mm-hmm. And that he made a huge mistake, and either he's going to get fired from West Ham because they're going to be like, you are not the wonder kid, you are a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have to go back to Ted, which I kind of feel like maybe they won't do just because they already did that with Jamie.
Yeah,
but I like mean,
it's easy.
He needs something.
It's easy to be like, okay, well, nobody was their best. Nobody was their best until Ted Lasso came along.
Yeah.
And it's the whole thing where he meshes with everyone. And it may not be that Ted Lasso is a great coach with great ideas, but he is a great motivator and brings out the best in everybody.
Which, in my opinion, is a good coach.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like that's the thing about coaches, is like they have supporting staff that are there to drive all those other areas of like your defense and your offense. Like they're the ones who mm-hmm. set those plays and make those plays and drill the team on them and stuff. The coach is there to oversee all of that, but then also, yeah, to make sure that everyone there is their absolute fucking best. And like, that's what makes a good coach. You hire like any good boss, you hire good workers, you hire people that like can bring out the best for everybody, and then also does it in a way that like you're not demeaning, you're not like micromanaging, you're not up in people's shit about stuff, right? So like, I mean, that's what he is. Like he is a good coach in those regards. Mm-hmm. The fact his first season was tough, but he had to get to know the team and they had to get to know him, and by the season two, dude, everyone's on board. Everyone's fucking on board, and it didn't take him that much to get like Roy to come back. Roy's like, oh, I'm not gonna fucking do it. Arr, I'm Roy Kent. And then like, no, they got you, because it's what he knew, it's what you needed, but he wasn't gonna force you to do it. Mm-hmm. And then like Jamie was like, no one wants me, please take me back. Like, this is where I fit in, this is where I was good. And they used that to their advantage, like to get him back, and then like to play off of his like cocky self to like, well, no one expects Jamie Tart to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does, and people are like, what the fuck, I don't know what to do with this. Oh, now he's just soft. And then he just fucking like whips one from like the midfield into the goal, and like, mm-hmm. well, folks, fuck me, he's so good. I like Nate too much. You love Nate so much at the end of season one that you, but then you hate him so much by the end of season two, but that's because you know that he's better than that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't see that. And it's so fucking heartbreaking. And so you want him to fail, but you want him to come back. You need to come back home. You're the prodigal son. Come back.
That's how much we love this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you had people coming out of the woodworks, like all kinds of stars, like after that season two finale. And they were all like, even Yvette Nicole Brown was like, listen, I know the actor. I know the actor is an actor, but boy, do I hate his character right now, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. There was like so many people. It felt like it was like wrestling Twitter where people were worked. They were worked up over a character, and it was great. It was great to see that passion because people love that show so much. And obviously it paid off with all the awards they won this year.
I told you, we were watching that season finale. This may be spoilers for people at this point, but like, okay, they make it back. But like, it's like them, I forget who they're playing, Brentford, maybe? Or Brighton? I don't remember which team they're playing, but I think it's the Brentford Bees. I think that's who they're playing in that game, to get back in. And it is, I was so fucking like nervous for this show and for the team, because I'm like, they set out in the end of season one what was going to happen. Like, we were regulated. that sucks. Next year, we're going to come back. And the year after that, we're going to win the whole damn thing. Like, so when they got to that point where it's like, this is the game that matters. You have to fucking win this or draw. Like, you have the two. So it's 1-1 is fine. But, like, you have to fucking, you got to at least do that. I was, like shaking in, like, while we were watching it because I was so fucking nervous. And when they, like, won, I started crying. And Katie was like, are you okay? You know, this is a TV show, right? And I was like, I just fucking love this team so much. Like, I just, like, I'm so fucking invested in this dumb fucking show. I can't fucking help it. And then at the end with Nate, I was just like, I was seething. I was like, this motherfucker, like this piece of shit. Of course he went to West Ham. Of course he went to work for Robert. Like, I fucking called that shit when he was talking to him after the funeral. Fuck that guy. Fuck Nate. Like, fuck him.
Works people up so much.
Speaking of which, Mo asks, what sitcom moment left you sad or in tears?
All right, I'm going to say three words, and that's all I'm going to say, because if I talk more about it, I'm going to start crying again. Futurama, Jurassic Bark. That's all I'm going to say. One of the saddest fucking things ever written, ever.
But was that... Okay, I guess it was just a sitcom moment. Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking like a season finale or something. But yeah, yes. That fucking dog that sat there and waited for him to return.
Oh, God damn it, you said it. Well, there you go. Happy Friday, everybody.
It is. I remember watching that episode and being like, Matt Groening, who hurt you?
Yeah. That was the saddest thing anyone has ever fucking penned on, inked on a fucking paper.
Well, yeah. it was like the story of like, did someone take your childhood dog away from you and tell you like, oh, we ran away, or we took him to the farm, or like, you know, and when the dog wasn't like, you know, like what happened in your life that you wanted to write this story about a dog so goddamn loyal that dog waited for you every fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely heartbreaking. That is a good one.
Man. Yeah. Thanks, Mo.
Chair.
I mean, there's a few that I can kind of recall. I mean, recently, I mean, I could go with any stuff that I've really fallen in love with in the past few years, like when it ends, I always sob and tear up because this is the last time that I'm ever going to see these characters. And like, I've spent up to 10 years with these people and then it's over. It's just done. So like, Parks and Rec is one of them. Oh my God, I totally blanked on it. The forking show, the Heaven Forking show.
Good Place.
The Good Place.
That was a good one.
Teared up with that one. Going back really far is the last episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The Office.
Are there any moments in this outside of the
finales
that made you cry? Like, because
I mean, all
like
sure.
So like for like The Office, I'll say like, because while the end of the show didn't necessarily make me cry, Steve Carell leaving made me cry.
Yeah. The scene at the airport.
Where she takes her microphone off.
Yep. I fucking bawled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That and the scene between him and Jim in the office, because that was his last day on set. And so those emotions between the two of them
were real.
And it's so raw. It's so good.
Jim, thank you. Pam and Jim at the gas station.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that, those examples, I really need to think about it in order to come up with stuff, but there's been plenty of times that I've, that shows, like I said, it's not hard for me to fucking cry at shit. Anything dealing with relationships and families and shit. Like ever since I had a kid, I've been a ball of emotions when it comes to
yeah,
to stuff. So
there's an episode in Scrubs, and it was actually brought up in chat for this very question by the people in the chat, and it's a two-part episode, and the first part, JD is tasked with looking after a patient of Dr. Cox, and stuff is going on, and we're reintroduced to Brendan Fraser's character, Ben, and he shows up, and we'd found out last time he was on the show that he had like leukemia or something. And you find out in this one that he's not been treating it. He's just been going about his life. And the end of that episode, you find out that it's you're led to believe that the patient that JD was tasked after looking after dies. And Dr. Cox loses his shit. He gets really fucking mad at him. So in the second part, Dr. Cox is like, shut him out. He is ignoring him. He is mean to him. Like, he's not, you know, he's blowing him off. And it, you know, it's mean and hurtful. And JD's taking the, you know, he's doesn't know why he's being blamed for it, really. And Brendan Fraser's character is there the entire time. Like, dude, you gotta cut the kid some slack. Like, it's not his fault. Like, you ride him too hard. Like, this is, you gotta come some slack. And they're all getting ready for like Dr. Cox's son's birthday party. There's all this like B story going on. And at the end, you see him, and he's like dressed up, and he's talking to JD, and you know, JD's again apologizing for this. And Brendan Fraser's there with him, and he says something about like, well, like, who cares? It's just a 1-year-old birthday party. And JD's like, where do you think we are? And the camera like slowly pans around, and they're in a graveyard. They're at Ben's funeral, because Ben died of his leukemia. And like, that is what he's been shutting out this entire time. And so he blames JD, but it's not JD's fault. He's just grieving. And it's so fucking heartbreaking. And I'm about to start crying, because it is one of those moments in TV where you're like, God, he's being so fucking hard on him. And then you look back, and it's like, fucking Ben died. Like, and it's just, oh, it's so fucking heartbreaking. And then there's like episodes after that that's still Dr. Cox like not dealing with his friend's death, and is a rough ride, man. But it's Bill Lawrence again, same guy that does Ted Lasso, man. He fucking knows how to write write for TV and like write emotional storylines and all this stuff. And he knows how to, I guess, as a good boss, knows how to hire those good writers to flesh out these stories. And as they've talked about it on their podcast, and it is, dude, it is. That's good stuff. It's good. It's good. It's a sad one. We rewatched Scrubs a couple months ago. We got to the Ben stuff, and I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. Yeah. It's, oh man. Highly recommend it though. Go watch Scrubs if you haven't already. Not everything is dated well, but the chemistry between Zach Braff and Donald Faison is fucking just chef's kiss. So.
All right, that's it for Fan Friday. We're going to leave you off with some tears. So
it's on a sad note.
Next week, we got some fun stuff for you. I hope that everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Should have said that at the beginning of the show, but have a great weekend. Until next week, I'm Jeremy.
Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.